Welcome, church. We're so glad y'all are here to kind of kick off the new year. We'll see if there's any feedback. Here's a little bit, Roger. I threw a curveball by sitting down here. Cameras are all flexing out and trying to figure out what's going on. So, welcome. I hope your holiday was great. If your spouse surprised you with a brand new car and had a red bow on it, let me know. I'm doing a poll to see how often that actually happens. I'm sure no one is going to come talk to me. It's been a great week, I'm sure, for a lot of families. I also know there's a lot that goes on in that time being together as a family. There's a lot of things that come up during holidays that kind of spark your mind. So we recognize that. We understand that. There's still a little bit more feedback, Roger. So you want me to tilt them even more? Because I could. He said, I can't see him. I don't know what he said. I can't see him. So put on my glasses. So we recognize that coming into a holiday, into a new year, there's a lot of things that are going on. And we want to start off well. We want to start off as a church well. We want to kick off the year well. We want to jump into some of the things that we just sang, those new horizons. I know for us in our household, I'll give you a quick update for us. We were wondering if Ariana would even make it home, and she did. They took care of the infection that she had in her jaw, which was fantastic, and we were able to spend that time together. But lots of things go on. Here's another thing, just a thank you to, there are things that happen behind the scenes here at the church that you will never, ever know, especially when it's brutally cold and a pipe freezes. And while no one is here, thousands and thousands of gallons of water are pumping into the kitchen. Our team behind the scenes of Lanny, Craig Henniger, Norm Smith came in here and fixed all that during the holiday. Huge, huge thank you to them. Those things that you never see coming, right? We have a family that jumps in. And that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about what it looks like to be a family. It's going to be what we're going to be doing for the next few months as a church, talking about these things that we do as a family of God. We spent 4 weeks coming into Christmas talking about the Lord coming among us. I'm probably going to have to move back up on stage, aren't I? So... yeah, I'll move up because I'm sure down here in front it's bothering everybody. Whoops. That'll be better. Ah, yes. Now the cameras are all moving around again. Thanks, Mia. See, family, look at that. But we're going to be jumping into this time over the next few months and going, what does it look like for us as a family of God to abide under the lordship of Jesus? It's really a back to basics sort of thing. And as I was thinking, how do we kick that off? How do we do that as a family? It was really all about us connecting under a verse that I think quite possibly could be one of the best verses, the most succinct verses about being a Christ follower or doing the simple act of Christ following. And it's found in John chapter 15. And it's a verse that I'm sure many of you have heard. It's going to be on the screen. It's on the little prayer sheet that you have. And it goes like this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Each branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. You know, I've looked at this scripture a ton. I look at this scripture multiple times a year. It's actually part of a program that I do with folks, and a few of you have gone through me with that. And we walk through this scripture verse by verse, so I'm constantly reminded about it. I've looked at it in so many different ways, tried to figure out what is the illustration, what is the analogy, and knowing that Jesus is the best teacher who has ever existed, there's got to be so much more to hear. This is his last words. If you've ever, you know, remember back to those communication classes, you always leave the people that you're speaking to at the end with what you want them to remember. And this is right before Jesus is taken and crucified. He has just spent dinner with his disciples, and he's about to be betrayed. And this is the last thing that he's talking to the people he loves dearly. In a vineyard, which I'm sure many of us don't, you know, we don't walk around vineyards all the time. But for these folks, this meant a lot. This thing, this Christ following that he is spelling out was for the individual. It was for the family. It was for the church. You see, there's lots of pieces in here, and multiple dead smart guys have had conversations about what it all means. But I think quite simply, it is just telling us, those who love and who have surrendered to the Lord, it's telling us how to walk this journey. It's telling us this is what it looks like. You could get caught up in all the things of fire and branches being thrown away, but it really, he is speaking to folks that he knows are going to be persecuted. Their faith is going to be put to the test. And because he is the Lord of creation and knows all things, he knows that they will ultimately surrender to him and follow him unto death. So keeping that in mind and keeping who we are in mind, this scripture matters. It matters for us to understand what it is to be under that word. And in different translations, it's done different ways, but the word is abide or remain. If you remember back a few weeks ago, it was the sentiment behind the abiding love of God. And in this one word, we see a lot. We see identity. We could spend a ton of time breaking this down, but the simple things that push us as disciples forward, we see things like identity. We first see Jesus and the Father as inseparable. Scripture before and after this section says that Jesus can only do what he sees the Father doing or do what the Father tells him to do. We see Jesus crying in the garden because of that immutable fact that he is inseparable, the Son from the Dad. That his identity is caught up in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And then they model it to us. The identity is seen there, the oneness of God. Jesus proclaims it throughout his time on earth. We see our identity. It's very clear that if we abide, we're a part of this picture. We're the branch. That's our identity. And when we abide, when we are in the vine, there is also a picture of that inseparableness, if that is a word. That if you got so close between where the branch intersects the vine, you couldn't tell the difference between the bark of Christ and the bark that come from those who are fully abiding in him. That our identity is no longer found anywhere else, but in that connection, that abiding under that lordship of the vine that is kept and provisioned by the vine dresser, by God. We also see that abide is provision. Abiding in the Lord brings all that we need. Again, because we're not people who oftentimes walk around vineyards, though they're popping up more around us, we probably don't get this picture really well. But it doesn't take long for us to put the pieces together to go, listen, that foundation where the vine is planted, that foundation being planted in the Father, all the life, all the nutrients, everything pumps up through that, and the vine gives it freely to the branches that are abiding. We also see in verse 3 the provision of the word. The word that has been given to you has made you clean. That picture of the word is more than just the scripture that you hold in your hand or that we just read. That word is Jesus. That word is the provision that comes from him, and he makes us clean. He makes the branch everything it should be. The vine brings life. And then the vine accomplishes his mission through the branch by producing fruit. Another thing that we see in abide is it brings correction. You may not think of this as a positive, but if you don't, if you miss out on this, if you don't see correction as necessary, then you'll become stagnant, complacent, misguided, useless. You know, sometimes we experience this correction in more subtle ways, the subtle ways of walking our sanctified life where we are nudged by the Holy Spirit and we correct things and we see the things that are going wrong in our lives and we're like, oh, okay, I see that. But sometimes it's more substantial. Sometimes that correction feels like a refining fire. But Scripture is very clear that that discipline is necessary. Church, that discipline is necessary for us as the body of Christ. It's necessary for us as individuals. It's necessary for our families to move the kingdom forward. And oftentimes we look at the correction, we look at the pruning, the maybe the small snips of dead leaves or not so great buds, and we're like, oh, I don't want to go through that. But you have to realize, and again, go to any vineyard right now, drive home. They're all over the place. Head up on the hill, on Acme Hill, you'll see vineyards everywhere. You'll be surprised by how much they are trimmed back at the end of the season. You may look at them and go, how does something come out of that? But it is so necessary to push back, to get back to the central core of the vine so that you can then spread back out. That correction is important for the vines, for them to produce fruit for this next year, and it's important for us. You see, this lordship, this thing that you're going to hear a lot about over the next few weeks, this being under a triune one God, a powerful God, a God that can do much and accomplish much, a God that if we don't, will cause the rocks to scream out. He wants this for us. He wants us to come under his lordship, not thinking of it as persecution or being under his thumb or being under an angry God, but as a God who says, listen, I've got all the wellspring of life. I've got everything that you need. I've got all the power, all the encouragement, all the strength, the nutrients that you need to do good things in the kingdom, not because of your power, but because of his. He's saying, come to me. Get under that lordship. It's a caring father who loves you dearly and wants to see you succeed, see you glorifying him and accomplishing a kingdom movement that honestly, guys, honestly, the church has maybe lost sight of. We need to hear this under the lordship moment in time. We need to hear that we get back to the basics of who we follow and how he equips and how he moves, how he encourages, how he says to you, go, do, go, live. Go show your worship, that transcending power of the Lord by getting under his lordship and abiding. And finally, in this small scripture, and we're going to do something together as a family, under this short section of what I believe, like I said, is quite possibly one of the best places to look to be as a disciple, we see that abide under that lordship means prayer. That conduit in a vine is seamless. It goes back and forth between the branch and the vine and the nutrients that come up from the foundation. That is what we have in prayer. It's that seamless interaction between us and the Lord of the universe. That moment where we can talk and interact, petition, glorify, exalt, worship, listen to what he has for us. And he is a God who desires to answer prayer. You see, this moment in time We're gonna be reminded of this lordship. We'll be called to look at our lives and address the dead and useless parts that comes from prayer. Those dead and useless parts of our branches, and let the Holy Spirit, as He speaks to us, shear them. We will call on the Lord to guide us into what is good and perfect, His good and perfect will, and how He would like to produce fruit. You see, we need to be a people who will call on the Lord to grow us as individuals, families, and church, and that we will not be so inward only as some churches have already become. That we will pray for a flourishing vineyard that cares for people, that glorifies Jesus, that reaches the lost and dying world. Prayer that God wants to come alongside us and answer. As a church, we're going to be pushing into that a lot. In a few weeks, you're going to hear about a time that we're going to call you. And we're hoping you will join us. We're going to call you into a time of prayer and fasting to do just that, to call on the Lord to do something amazing, to call on the Lord to bring about transformation and change, to call on the Lord to lead this church. And we're going to start a little bit today. We're going to do a little bit of that vineyard stuff right now. So everybody should have gotten a little sheet of paper. Now, if you didn't get one, feel free. They're back on the tables. You should have gotten one for your family, or if you were an individual, you were given one. And if you want to do this with a friend, that's totally fine. There should have been pens and pencils back there. But we're going to take some time right now. It's going to be kind of a buzz in here because you're going to do it as a family. I'm going to give you some time. It may be just a start to bigger conversations around the lunch table today, but we're going to give you some time. What does it look like for us as a church to start right now praying for this next year, praying for the movement forward of the Spirit, the movement forward of kingdom work, at home first, in our individual lives first, as a body, and then as a movement of brothers and sisters who are part of the bride all over the world. So I'm going to give you a few minutes. I'm going to do it too. I'm going to go down with Charlene, and we're going to do this. So take some time, huddle up with your family. Like I said, if you came by yourself or you're single, if you want to do it with a friend, that's totally fine too. But remember, this is something you're going to take home. But take some time right now and answer these questions. Write some things down. Like I said, it may be a start, but just take a moment right now and start digging into this. Go ahead. I don't think there's going to be any music to write by, but have some fun with it. start preparing, because I know it takes some of us longer than others. The communion piece is here. We're going to celebrate here in a second with communion. I don't want to rush anyone. I'm hearing some good conversations. As you're finishing up, I want you to hear this, that as we look at prayer, you know, we're looking at prayer as this scripture is pointing us to prayer, which is prayer abiding and surrendered under Jesus, prayer that he would want to answer. Because you see, when you get into the abiding of the Lord, you are asking, you are looking for, and you are listening for things that he wants. And I think all those questions, I think he wants those things for you, for your family, for the people in your community that you're praying for. The things of health, the things of salvation, the things of stability. I do think he wants that for you. But the best way for us to know that the prayers that we are asking of him, the best way that we can figure out and make sure that that switch is flipped is because we are fully abiding in the Lord. And then he, through his Holy Spirit, is going to impress on us what we should be looking for. So I hope that as you take that home, that it doesn't get lost. It gets stuffed in a bag or in the back of your Bible. I pray that it gets put on your fridge so people can see it, you can see it. I pray that it becomes a common conversation in your household, because that is the abiding. It's one of the reasons that we come before the Lord in a time of communion. You see, that picture of communion, the bread and the drink is really the life of the vine. It is the nutrients that comes up and fills us. Jesus, again, is that best teacher ever, wrapped up the picture of communion with a meal, the sustenance, the provision that we need to live. That is the abiding that takes place when we take communion. Let me read to you some scripture, 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord, this is Paul speaking, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. He is sharing with his people, the people that he is calling to be Christ followers. He's saying, listen, I pass this on to you because it was passed on to me from Jesus, from those who followed him. He knew this happened on the night when he was betrayed. The Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You are proclaiming that you will abide until he either takes you up or he comes down. But Paul goes on and says this, so then whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine themselves. In this way, let them eat the bread and drink from the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on themselves. This is why many of you are sick and ill, and many have even fallen asleep. If we were properly judging ourselves, if we were properly abiding in the Lord, if we were properly surrendered to the King of Kings, the God of God, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned with this world. We are set apart. That's what the word holiness means. To be set apart from all the things that are corrupt and wrong and evil. And that's what we do today. If you are a follower of the Lord, we ask you to join us today at the table. If you have fully surrendered your life to the Lord, we are calling you today to eat and drink. Now hear me. Hear me, and this may be hard. If you're not, take a moment and repent. Take a moment and commit to the Lord that you will correct, that you will go ask for forgiveness. Take a moment and get your heart resurrendered to the Lord. This is a big deal. It's not something that we just do flippantly. This is what Christ followers do in remembrance of a king that died for them, conquered sin, and offered eternal life. So take the bread now and eat in remembrance of him. And likewise, take the cup, his blood shed for you. Father God, we are so thankful for all that you do for us. Father God, we come before you as a people who want to surrender and be reminded of your lordship. Father God, call us back under that lordship. Call us back under your wings of protection and discipline and power. Call us to be a people who look different or set apart in holiness, searching and seeking and guided into righteousness. Father God, that's what we want, and we know you want it too. We praise you because you give us the opportunity to. What an incredible outlook for a new year to be able to say, I am surrendered to a Lord that wants immeasurably more than I could ever think or imagine. Looking at a year not as tasks to be clicked off of a list or silly goals that really don't have eternal meaning, but to be a people engaged with the Lord of Lords, walking side by side with our brothers and sisters, called into action. Father, encourage us in that. Convict us in that. Holy Spirit, move in us right now to be that. In Jesus' name, amen.